you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Well, hello, everybody. I hope everyone had a good weekend. I tell you what I did this weekend was I started going through all the miscellaneous ammunition that I've got, and one of the things I was concentrating on was my 308, or in the military term, 7.62x51. So I've gone through all this different stuff, and I've got some stuff, some old Portuguese stuff, some old stuff from NATO-spec stuff from India, some general stuff, and I find myself a can that's got a bunch of Lake City ammo, Lake City being the basically the loader for the U.S. military. And I find a bunch of Lake City ammo loaded in, what was it, 74. So it still should be fine. I mean, ammo has a great shelf life. It's a little bit dirty, so I throw it in the tumbler to get it cleaned up just a little bit. And as I'm unloading it out of the tumbler, I notice maybe five or six out of about 150 rounds, the bullets popped out of the casing. So upon further inspection, I notice the case right along the neck has cracked on probably 85% of these rounds, which is not good. I've, you know, got several hundred of these rounds. So as it turns out, I have a huge can that was full of once fired brass miscellany stuff I've picked up here and there. Well, I end up having to take and pull the bullets out of all of the casings on hundreds of these things, separate the bullet, and then take out all the powder, and then actually deep prime them, put the case in the little spot to take to the recycling center. But I have everything but the casing, so then I have to go through, and I got to resize all of these other new casings, and then put the Lake City primer and the powder and the bullets back in. So this is a process I'm going through throughout the weekend. I actually did not finish the process, but I've got it together. This illustrates what I went through some other casings and found that the old ammo cans that they were in were kind of just greasy and nasty in there, and the bullets themselves had just this film of funk. So I had to clean all those, throw those in some tumbler media, and I used the media that I had the oldest, because I knew it was going to get gunked up from all this stuff and have to get thrown out. My point being, check your supplies. Check and see how your ammo is, because the day that you need to grab your ammo and load it up and go out to the range or use your gun for whatever lawful purpose, you're going to want to make sure you have decent ammo, and you don't want to have to be stuck with ammunition that's not in good condition. So check it out. All right, I would like to remind you of the Day Champion Show, which is 3 o'clock Central weekdays here on RBN. I encourage you to listen to that, and also advise you of the Day Champion Show Defensive Handgun Course, May 15 through 18, out at Front Sight. So if you're interested in that, you can get a hold of Dave. Call his office, which I've given on the show a number of times. You can also reach him, comments at DaveChampionShow.com. Additionally, we're going to go through today a number of different things concerning this, I should say, moronic rhetoric about the idea of banning our guns in this country for some unknown reason that they believe that it's going to affect the drug wars going on in Mexico. So we have a number of those things to get to a little bit later today, as well as talk about all the booming gun sales going across the U.S. So stay tuned. We've got plenty to go over, plus a proposed ammunition registration going on in Long Beach, California, that you can show up to in that area to fight when we return.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam's out
here to shoot me. All right, so stick this into your hat. On Tuesday, March 24th, that's tomorrow, in Long Beach, the Long Beach City Council is set to vote on whether to draft an ordinance to force ammunition sellers in Long Beach to record the identity of all ammunition purchasers, as well as other details of the sales transaction. These records would then be collected and used by the Long Beach Police Department to identify purchasers who are legally prohibited from possessing ammunition. You really think that's what it is? This ordinance will do nothing to reduce crime. It's simply an attempt to restrict the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens. Now keep in mind, the Second Amendment, as I guess fortified by D.C. versus Heller, is a right to keep and bear arms, but it doesn't really touch the ammunition issue. You would think that that would be part of it, but of course now the anti-gunners, how can we go about this? How can we circumvent the Constitution of the United States for our own ideologies, is essentially what they're going through in their minds. Feeble little peanut minds they are. The result of previous ammunition registration experiments have been so dismal that other cities have abandoned these schemes rather than to maintain them. Now imagine that. History repeats itself, but yet they're going to try and go through this again, just essentially to cause trouble for those who want to have ammo and be able to shoot guns. This ordinance is also illegal. These ammunition registration ordinances are preempted by state law and constitute an unconstitutional infringement to the Second Amendment. Your help is needed to defeat the proposal in California. Please call and or email the Long Beach City Council and or, even better, attempt to attend the City Council meeting on March 24, 2009, and voice your oppositions. Tell your neighbors to do the same if you're in the Long Beach area. Big showing in Long Beach against this. And let them know, this violates what is already a state law. So threaten to do a citizen's arrest on them or something. You know, this is ridiculous. This is just more people trying to find a way to get our guns, which, by the way, gun sales are booming. How about this? Gun makers can thank a former New York senator and presidential candidate for an ongoing boom in gun sales. If you ask one local firearms vendor, George Nemec, owner of Nemec's Sports Shop in Warrenburg, and I'm not sure where this comes from, Warrensburg, said gun sales at his business began to increase about 2 years ago after Senator Hillary Clinton announced her intent to run for president. People were concerned about the possible impact of a Democratic president on the Second Amendment right to bear arms. Handguns, shotguns, rifle, it's every type, Nemec said. People are worried the government is going to take their gun rights or they're going to tax them, guns and ammunition, to death. Continuing, with a Democratic president in office, and economic troubles fueling fears of rising crime, guns, and the rounds they fire are a hot commodity these days. You know, I have to echo that, just pausing in this story for my own 2 cents. I was going through that ammunition this weekend, as I told you, and I found a case I had of NATO spec surplus ammunition from India that I got, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I found a copy of the original sales receipt that I got. I had bought 1,000 rounds at the time at just under 10 cents a piece. 1,000 rounds of NATO spec 308, 762 by 51, was $99.90 for 1,000 rounds. Now, right now, that would probably be closer to $700. So, sevenfold inflation on ammunition in 4 or 5 years is preposterous. Just, it's terrible. But supply and demand. So people that didn't have their ammo before this latest craze are paying through the nose. Luckily, I had all the ammo I needed. I can't tell you the last time I actually had to buy ammo. It's been sometime last year, and it was probably spring, maybe before. I don't know. Anyhow, continuing, Across the country, gun dealers are reporting a big upstick in sales of both firearms and ammunition. Requests for federal background checks for proposed gun buyers have surged since last fall, with the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms reporting a nearly 50% increase after the election of President Barack Obama. Tom King, president of the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, said gun and ammunition sales around the country have risen in recent months. Gee, I wonder why. Why are we buying guns and ammo? Well, you know, alcohol sales were on a huge surge before Prohibition. As a matter of fact, the mechanics to be able to build stills were, all of the different pieces, parts to build stills, and the supplies there too, were also a big surge before Prohibition. It's amazing. When something is threatened, everybody gains an interest in it. As if, right now there's a big interest in the polar bear because their habitat's being threatened. Now, that's only because there's a lot of noise going on about it. Oh, hey, polar bears, yeah, that might be kind of cool to look into. Well, also guns and ammunition. Oh, wow. If I've never been a gun owner before. Wow, I don't own a gun, but I've always been able to be able to go and get a gun if I ever wanted to. Well, I might not be able to, so maybe I should go out and look at getting a gun. Well, yeah, maybe you should. All right? Maybe you should. Don't forget the ammo, guys. Make sure you get quality ammo. I got to tell you an interesting thing that happens here in the United States. And it's the polar opposite of the way things generally happen in Western Europe. In Western Europe, what the folks there that can buy guns would generally do is they go buy a good solid action old military surplus rifle. And then from there, they might rebarrel it or put a new stock on it, put a good quality scope, and then put good ammunition through it in what is effectively a cheap gun. In the United States, the common thing to do is buy the most expensive gun you can find and then put a cheap optic on it. We're talking if we're going with rifles. And then feed it the cheapest ammunition we can possibly buy. So to buy a really expensive high-end gun and then feed it really just low-end ammunition, I would equate to the similarities of buying a high-end Ferrari or Lamborghini and then putting 85-octane unleaded in there, or even regular and then adding the lead additive to it. I don't see the corollary why people would do that. If you want to buy cheap ammo, that's fine. And keep that in your, in case of Armageddon stash, all right? But when you're actually out shooting good ammunition, use good ammunition, because some of the other stuff, like the steel casings and whatnot that you can get, some of the stuff that's imported from Eastern Europe and whatnot in Asia, the steel casings, you've got steel barrels, steel chambers and whatnot, and the edges of those casings can, through time and repetitive rounds, actually cause a little bit of damage inside the gun. Now, it's not common for that to happen, but certain types of guns, certain types of metal that these barrels and chambers and whatnot are made with can get what is called galling, where you actually get just small imperfections that are embedded in there from using these steel casings. Additionally, steel is a little stronger than brass, which is your standard casing, or aluminum, which you can get in some of them. If one of those swells and gets stuck in your chamber, to hammer it out is really difficult and can cause even more galling. Then you got to send the thing off and get polished. Now you're eroding away metal. So just if you've got a bunch of the steel casing sort of ammunition, or you can get a bunch of it, fine. However, don't plan on shooting that stuff all the time unless you really want to beat up your gun. You're shooting it through what's essentially a disposable gun, which I have heard people use that term. I haven't yet come across a disposable gun, but, you know. Anyhow, keeping in mind with this whole idea with the gun sales and whatnot, we need to continue on with this. If you have been thinking about buying a gun and haven't decided whether or not you should, well, look into it. You don't necessarily have to buy from a gun dealer. You can buy private party. Find somebody in your area that's selling a gun. Go to gunbroker.com, auctionarms.com, something like that. Find an outlet and find yourself a gun. We're going to be talking a little bit later this week. I'm going to have a show dedicated just to training and another show dedicated later this week just to gun selection or what it is you're going to be doing. So tune in throughout the week. We're going to have, again, a couple of shows dedicated just to this. I told you they were coming, and in fact, this week we've got them later this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, something like that. So let's continue on with this gun sales booming thing. All right. He said, Tom King, president of the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, said, many are concerned a Democratic president and Democratic-controlled Congress will change gun laws and could potentially ban certain types of firearms, likely those commonly referred to as assault weapons. Democratic lawmakers are generally viewed as less friendly to gun owners than their Republican counterparts. However, as I reported last week and has been throughout the Internet, 65 Democrats in the House signed a letter and sent it to Attorney General Eric Holder, scumbag, anti-gunner, and told him that under no circumstances should he try to force upon them new legislation to go through Congress, through their House of Congress, that would either bring back the gun ban of 1994 to 2004, gun and magazine ban, nor introduce any new legislation, but rather for the executive branch, obviously as Attorney General, he fairly well heads up on all the law enforcement, to enforce gun laws already on the books. Do what you can do as a good citizen. We'll be back.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
All right, folks, what I'm going to do is play kind of a downsized, slightly edited clip just for time purposes of NRA Vice President Wayne LaPierre on Glenn Beck last Wednesday.
The only Frenchman I like is Wayne LaPierre. He's with us now from the NRA, the National Rifle Association, because the Second Amendment is under fire. Okay, so Wayne, the Second Amendment is under fire in a couple of things. We knew that they were going to try to bring the assault weapon ban back, but now they're blaming it on Mexico. And they're saying that the United States, all these assault weapons are just going right across the border that are being sold here. Can you clear this up a little bit?
I sure can. You know, you hear this figure in the media and newspapers, 90% of these guns in Mexican drug cartels are getting from the United States. It's a lie. The NRA is one of the largest law enforcement organizations in the country. I've talked to law enforcement officers at the federal, state, and local level the last couple of weeks. They all say the same thing. Wayne, the great overwhelming bulk of these guns the Mexican drug cartels are getting are not coming from the U.S. They're coming from Central America, Guatemala,
no.
Corruption in the Mexican army, Mexican police forces. A lot of them are Russian. A lot of them are bought on the illegal international black market. Mm-hmm. But they're not coming from the United States. ATF. Dianne Feinstein was up there yesterday in a Senate hearing, batting around 90%, 90%, 90%. ATF said, we can't substantiate that. We've seen nowhere near that number. In fact, the truth is the Mexican government will not even give the U.S. government the serial numbers on these guns. And the American public deserves the truth, okay. And they're not getting it.
All right, so tell me about the 50 calibers that apparently came from the United States that they're talking about.
You know the ironic thing on that? A lot of 50 calibers were sold to the Mexican government in the 90s, and I bet if you check, a lot of it is corruption in the Mexican government as to where those 50 calibers are from. Somebody ought to call.
You're saying that we sold the Mexicans 50 caliber machine guns and
the Mexican army.
I don't know anybody who would believe you that there would be corruption in Mexico that might to have those Mexican arms go from the army into the drug cartels. That's preposterous, Wayne LaPierre.
You got it. And somebody ought to ask the U.S. companies, hey, how many have you been asked to trace here in the U.S.? I mean, that's my bet as to what's going on that.
Okay.
I mean, look, the whole idea that you're going to, that the answer to this is diminishing the Second Amendment freedom of American citizens is preposterous. It will not affect these drug cartels that kill, rape, rob, murder, and our armies, the equivalent of these terrorist operations in Pakistan over the Afghan border. They could care less.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Okay, imagine that. We actually have these drug wars going on in Mexico, and the American government, without confirmation, is trying to have us believe that the Mexican government is blaming United States citizens, private citizens, for the drug wars in Mexico. Not just along the border, the U.S.-Mexico border, but throughout the entire country. So our country is telling us, the Mexican government says, you American citizens are buying guns and taking them across the border and selling them to Mexican drug cartels and coming back. Now, I live in the southwestern United States. I live in southern Nevada. I visit California on a regular basis. I visit family in Arizona on a regular basis. And I got to tell you, I know a lot of people in a lot of places. I don't know anyone who personally knows Mexican drug cartels. I would imagine that the people that do are probably on the opposite side of the tracks when it comes to legalities. They're probably the folks who aren't exactly stand-up people. And if they aren't stand-up people, how in the hell are they going to go to a gun store and buy a gun? So they say, well, maybe it's a private party transfer. That's a loophole. Okay. How many people here that are going to be owning a gun would actually sell it to someone who is not of good character? Well, that's an even smaller number. So how about American black market underground people selling them to Mexican black market underground people? How do they get them? Well, the only way to do it would be to continually steal stuff from we citizens and then sell it to these guys going across the border. And folks, all of that is already all illegal. It's already all illegal. Now, Wesley Clark, former Army general, blames American gun owners for crisis in Mexico. Now, listen to this hogwash. This is from last Friday on March 20th. Joining the chorus of anti-gun politicians blaming gun owners for Mexican violence, former Democratic presidential candidate Wesley Clark said, quote, the real problem here and the Mexican government, the people I've talked to in the Mexican government recently said the problem Mexico has is we're sending weapons into Mexico. He continues, if people want machine guns, just tell them to join the military. Okay. Perhaps somebody should inform the former general about the difference between machine guns and semi-automatics, which, by the way, former General Wesley Clark, you should probably already know, having spent time in the military from 1966 to 2000. Ridiculous that this guy was ever in the military. Kind of a shame. All right, more about this Mexican BS abomination of American gun rights attempts after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Laws on the books already saying that the things that the American government, your government, is saying about guns from American citizens going into Mexico. Now, here's the deal. The U.S. government is essentially out of Attorney General Eric Holder's office. Again, anti-gun scumbag. All he wants is your guns. He could really care less about anything else. It just seems that this guy's all about not wanting you to have your guns legally. So how do they go about doing this? Well, they want to build some sort of sympathy, some sort of empathy for poor, ailing Mexico, that the Mexicans and their horrible troubles with their drug cartel are stemmed by American gun owners. This is, you know, the war on drugs hasn't worked, but now they want to have a war on guns. They've actually so far considered deploying, they're doing a study now, and President Obama is waiting with bated breath to see how this report comes out, detailing what they believe the outcome would be if we were to deploy National Guard troops across the U.S.-Mexico border to stem guns from the U.S. allegedly going into Mexico, which isn't happening anyway. But yet, there's this big deal because now they want to have this big created out of thin air thing to try and get people to agree, okay, yeah, you know what, you're right, maybe we should look at gun control. So it's something out of nothing. This problem does not exist. Let me read you a couple stories here. This one's from Friday, March 20th, just this last Friday. Congress has jumped in with both feet when it comes to the crisis of violence in Mexico. The usual suspects are once again blaming American gun owners and the American gun laws. This week, there are two more hearings, one in the Senate Judiciary Committee on Drugs and Crime, the other in the House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on the Western Hemisphere. In both cases, anti-gun politicians such as Senators Dick Durbin and Dianne Feinstein and Congressman Elliot Engel blame American gun laws for the crisis. Fortunately, in both hearings, gun rights supporters in Congress stood up for American gun owners. Now, they are the people who pass the laws. They write, they draft, lobby, and pass the laws, and they're blaming the laws for this. First of all, that's totally false. That's just absolute crock. But yet they're blaming the laws that come out of the House and the Senate up on the Hill, which they do. So they're blaming themselves for this. Just they don't look at it that way. In the House subcommittee hearing, Chairman Engel made it clear from the onset he viewed this issue from one perspective, guns. His solution to the ultra-violent Mexican drug cartel is to blame the American gun owners and American gun laws. Imagine that. This is a guy that was put into office. Can you imagine? I don't. Where the hell is this guy from? We need to find a way to get him out of there and get somebody else in there during the next election cycle. Christian Rand, the legislative director for the Violence Policy Center, repeated the unsubstantiated claim that 90% of guns seized from the cartel came from the U.S., which is a total crock. And they blamed American gun laws and called for the BATFE to use the broadest possible interpretation of the sporting purposes test to ban a much larger class of semi-automatic rifles. So what they're doing here is this. Realizing that it would be very, very difficult, if not just plain impossible, to pass anti-gun laws through both houses of Congress, with the awareness that we've got on pro-Second Amendment people, that we've got on this radio show and other outlets such as it, that now what they're talking about, Christian Rand, the legislative director for this anti-gun group Violence Policy Center, is basically trying to get Eric Holder, the Attorney General, to direct the ATF, the Bureaucracy Against True Freedoms, which would be, that is the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. It's more of a Bureaucracy Against True Freedoms, in my estimation. So to get the Bureaucracy Against True Freedoms to make their own policy, since they actually oversee guns as their federal oversight, to create their own executive policy banning guns or regulating guns. So it wouldn't take an act of Congress. It would take Eric Holder telling ATF what to do. That's what Christian Rand is trying to get through. So Congressman Connie Mack of Florida, however, challenged Rand's claim that 90% of guns seized from the cartels are from the U.S. Rand cited the BATFE for her claim. But the BATFE has only stated that 90% of guns traced are from America. The BATFA only traces a fraction of the seized guns. Those firearms are not selected randomly. They are likely selected because they are the guns most likely to have come from the U.S. True Trace reveals nothing about the large number of guns that are not traced. So what happens is the Mexican government ends up with these guns. They separate out the stuff that's pretty darn sure comes from the U.S., and they have them available, and they allow the ATF to look at whatever percentage they want of these. 90% of those come from the U.S. Now, that could be a total of 80 guns in a year. It could be a total of 6 billion guns in a year. We don't know. The numbers aren't there. Except we do know that of some 6,000 guns seized last year, 90% of the ones that the ATF looked at were U.S. origin. We don't know the true number. ATF will not release it because Eric Holder will not allow them to release it. He wants to get your guns and my guns and everybody else's guns. In defending her call to ban the import of all, quote, assault rifles into America, Kristen Rand admitted that she had no idea how many of those guns were subsequently smuggled into Mexico. But a recent article in the LA Times may shed some light on the real source of the cartel's weapons. The article described the military arms being used by cartels in the battles with Mexican Army and Federal Police as how those weapons are entering Mexico, not through the U.S., but through Central America. Wow, imagine that. Imagine that. Different countries that basically everybody is corrupt and on the take for the most part are able to smuggle firearms, guns, fully automatic guns, into Mexico, where there's corruption and people on the take. Imagine that. But in America, where we already have laws, we have laws that are already being enforced, somehow we're the bad guy? Why is that? Well, we're not, but the scumbags that we continue to elect, we can partially blame ourselves, we continue to elect, want to get us in there. Now, keep in mind, Eric Holder was not elected, but our elected officials gave him the thumbs up. Wonderful. We did elect his boss, however, Barack Obama, who we all knew was anti-gun. We all knew he was going to be trying to get our guns. And, of course, as we've said on this radio show already several times, looking at the different things that they've tried to get Congress to introduce as new legislation already in the first 60 days of the presidency. In the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee, Chairman Durbin also made it clear that he thought American guns, not drug lords, drug users, or illegal gun traffickers, are the cause of violence in Mexico. Imagine that guns cause violence. All right, this pen in my hand, if it misspells a word, is it responsible for illiteracy? If this watch on my wrist tells me the wrong time, is it responsible for my being late? No. If the computer that I'm looking at deletes a file, now, is that the computer's fault for me not having a backup? No, these are inanimate objects that are tools of uses of human beings. So guns are not creating the violence. What's creating the violence in Mexico? Quite simply stated, like it or not, is corruption. There's a lot of corruption in Mexico. I have personally gotten out of a speeding ticket in Mexico with a bottle of tequila. Now, I was basically prompted by this Mexican officer to pay him so I wouldn't get this ticket. So what do? I grab one of the bottles of tequila that I bought. Luckily, he was happy with the really cheap stuff, some of the scowl with the worm in it. Oh, yeah, happy. Oh, si, thank you, senor. Policia, great. Yeah, he was down the road with a bottle of tequila. I don't even know if I was speeding. I really don't. Because there was no signs on this particular road. But he pulled me over. I was going the same flow as traffic, if not a little bit slower. But I got pulled over, gringo. And he got my bottle of tequila. That's great. Maybe he could go and have lunch and go pull over some other gringos on the road. My point being that America's demand for drugs, and keep in mind that Mexico's drug cartel doesn't make drugs just for the United States. They ship them out throughout the world. So America's demand for drugs and the demand for drugs throughout the world fuel the Mexican drug cartels. They have business. And they are going to do what they can to protect it and increase it and grow it like any business. All right? It's a free drug market society in Mexico. The guns that you and I as lawful gun owners purchase have nothing to do with the drugs in Mexico nor the violence that goes on there. Let me make that clear. You and I legally purchasing and possessing firearms in the United States of America has absolutely nothing to do with the Mexican violence between the drug cartels, the military, and the federal police there. Nothing. It is like apples and avocados. They're just on opposite ends. All right? It's like eating bacon and chocolate together. They don't go together. Yeah, it turns my stomach to think, too. You don't take a piece of chocolate and melt it over a piece of bacon and, those go good together. American gun owners and our lawfully owned and possessed and used firearms have nothing to do with the drug violence going on in Mexico. It has to do with drugs and corruption. However, your government and mine, sadly stated, several higher-ups within this government are trying to use the violence in Mexico to take your guns and mine. Might I repeat from my cold, dead hands, you've got to be kidding me that because there's drug violence in Mexico, you want my guns? How is taking my guns away, restricting my right to own guns, going to change anything in Mexico? The answer is it's not, but they're trying to build this rhetoric. You remember right after Columbine, 2 days after Columbine, a very vastly written piece of legislation. Actually, I'm sorry, it was the day after Columbine in 1999. A huge piece of legislation, anti-gun legislation, went before the Senate. But how did they draft it so quickly? Well, folks, it and many other pieces of legislation on anti-guns, anti-rights, anti-liberty, are sitting on someone's shelf in a file folder. And they're waiting for something to happen. Once this something happens, maybe there's a big mass shooting of some kind, even if it's not in this country. It's going to come off the shelf, get blown off, dusted off, and immediately introduced, as was this piece of legislation, into the Senate the day after Columbine. Now, the senator shot it down. There was a huge, huge outcry by the American public. So the senators, wanting to save their own butts, said, you know what, hold on. Let's reintroduce it. Let's look at it again. So a couple days later, it was reintroduced. They looked at it again, and it passed the Senate. However, they knew that America has such short memories, it was never going to pass into law because it was killed in committee in the House, and that was part of the plan. Before they said reintroduce it, you know that the senators, the Republican senators, went to the Republican-controlled House up on the Hill and said, look, we want to save our own butts because this legislation is introduced here into the Senate. So we want to pass it and look like good guys, but there's no way we want this to be law. Would you agree? And I said, yeah, we agree. Okay, so we'll pass it, but you guys kill it. All right, sounds good. So that's exactly what happened. Now, that's just Washington politics. And it sucks that politics work that way. However, it's good for you and I that it didn't go through. In Australia, there were 3 mass shootings within about a year or so. So what happened was, they introduced this wide-sweeping anti-gun measure where people had to turn guns in. It wasn't a buyback. It was a surrender by this date or you're going to prison. And people turned in millions of guns, many of them antiques, one-of-a-kinds, few-of-a-kinds, that had been in their families for generations, others that were lawfully owned, had been purchased lawfully, had been used lawfully, had to be turned in. Anything with a detachable magazine, anything semi-automatic, rapidly repeating lever action, blah, blah, blah. Things like that all had to be turned in. No questions asked, you do it. And all of these guns were destroyed. I actually have seen the videos. They actually went in front of chop saws and in front of settling torches and destroyed these guns, completely inoperable, right through the barrels, right through all the actions, all of them. Now, 10 years later, The Australians are screaming to be able to get their guns back. Crime is up, and quite honestly, with a bunch of ranchers, there's so many pest animals out there which are ruining their crops, ruining their livestock, that they want to be allowed to be able to defend their livestock, because all these poachers and all these predatory animals are killing off their livestock, and or the animals that are out there are trampling their lands, and they're not able to farm on it. So they're looking to try to get out of this. So emotional debate over guns, legislation comes off, you and I, we get screwed, and then we try and lick our wounds. Because to lose your rights for guns is a whole lot easier than to get them back. When we got hosed in May of 86 through the Gun Owners Protection Act that was passed by Congress and signed by President Reagan, we got hosed literally in the 11th hour, 11th and a half hour, on a measure to where it was highly restricting an individual from being able to purchase a fully automatic machine gun, Class 3. Now, in the history of private citizens owning Class 3 guns, fully automatic guns, there's only ever been one crime committed by one guy with one gun since the 1930s. And that happened to be a police officer who was off duty, owned his own, legally owned and possessed Class 3 gun, and shot up the house of the guy that was sleeping with his wife. Nobody was actually shot, just the house. So that's the only time. So did they need to go after these full auto guns? No, but the government and the people in it were afraid of your guns, so they passed a law restricting those guns, which will eventually get to the point where there will not be any Class 3s left. Eventually. And they're certainly priced out of the market now. More about the idiocracy of anti-gunners after the break.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Here's a story out of Reuters. U.S. and Mexican security officials will strategize next month on fighting the arms trade fueling Mexico's bloody drug war, but a U.S. ban on assault rifles favored by the traffickers will not be on the agenda. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder and Homeland Security Janet Napolitano announced plans this week to meet their Mexican counterparts, Attorney General Eduardo Medina and Interior Minister Ferdinando Francisco Gomez Montt, at an arms trafficking conference in Cuernavaca, Mexico, in early April. Napolitano told reporters on Thursday the officials will discuss ways to fight the huge flow of weapons from the United States into Mexico, where they are used by drug gangs and turf battles that killed 6,000 people last year. To Mexico's great unease, the widely available U.S. guns are often the merchandise carried back along smuggling routes for illegal drugs coming into the United States. You have got to be kidding me. These people are admitting the problem. All right, there are routes between Mexico and the United States where people smuggle drugs. Then they go back for more drugs, and allegedly they're taking guns across? Well, any guns are taken across are illegal anyhow, so enforce the laws we've got. I don't want somebody getting a stolen U.S. gun and giving it to a Mexican national who's bringing drugs back and forth into the country. Drugs in, guns out, drugs in, guns out. I doubt very many guns are going out anyhow. Certainly drugs are coming in. And thank you very much, everybody in Mexico. But this is your problem by not securing your own border. We don't secure our border worth a damn. We had that figured out when it was back with 9/11. We know that our borders aren't very secure. Yet we haven't been able to get anything done to secure them. Now, U.S. Border Patrol has been hiring crazy big. I mean, all kinds of people. As a matter of fact, I have an outstanding job offer for the last nearly 2 years to go as a U.S. Border Patrol agent. I just don't see myself wanting to chase illegals through the Sonora Desert until I'm 60 years old as something I really want to do. So, if Mexico is seeing a problem that they believe is real, of course it's not real, which is why they're doing nothing about it. They're running their mouths to try and help out the U.S. officials, allegedly running their mouths. We don't even know that they are. We're taking this from the U.S. government, the Eric Holders and the, who is this other, Janet Napolitanos of the world. We're taking it on their good lying, not worth a damn word, that the Mexican officials are afraid of our guns. So if that's true, Mexican officials, why don't you secure your own borders? We're at least, we at least have gateways back and forth. If you know of these drug routes that are in and out, why don't you cut them down like it was the Ho Chi Minh Trail in 1968? You gotta be kidding me. But instead, no, they want to take the guns from you and me. This is a Mexican problem. This is not an American gun owner problem. Remember, folks, we'll get off the Mexican issue for now. As we close out, I'd like to remind you that tomorrow in Long Beach, California, you need to show up to protest the architecture of having to fill out all this paperwork to buy ammunition. We're going to have more when we come back tomorrow. If you would like, email us, Bill at 28radio.com.
Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.